Nothing does last, you know, everything perishes, even us. And we really don't have that long to live our lives, so you may as well pay attention. Oh, they're cool. I know what I'm going to do with them, but
who's walked this track before you? You might see their footprints, or perhaps their rubbish, a line that they've made dragging a stick through the sand, or perhaps you'll see their mark in an entirely different way, an entirely more intentional way. Hello. Anne Jones with you on RN, and this is Off Track, a program where we're out and about exploring the Australian environment and our place within it. Today, just one woman. A woman who walks, observes, collects and arranges found objects in a very deliberate manner.
My name is Leonie Barton and I'm a visual artist slash maker.
All right, let's go. The things that she uses for this ephemeral art are mostly directly from nature, and she leaves them there for an unknown audience to see, or perhaps not to see, for the wind to blow, for the rain to cry its tears all over. She just leaves them there.
I don't pick or pluck. I don't use any tools or props or glue, anything to stick anything to anything else.
We're walking down the irregular steps of a track in a forest that leads down to the Hawkesbury River, and around us, the dawn chorus is just finishing off for the morning.
So I go for a walk and using only what I find on the ground. Within a time frame of sort of an hour, make something that's interesting to look at. Whether it's, you know, balancing sticks on the ground, using negative space. I try and make something visually pleasing to look at that's very apparent. I think my eye is very drawn to harmony and balance. It's a wonder I get from the car to the supermarket door sometimes, because I just spend my life looking, you know, predominantly at the ground. Oh, look at that. See, any other year I'd race back to the car, or I'd have my paints with me and I'd sit down and paint. But I think I've become obsessed with this. So I'm looking.
And I'm getting spiderwebs full in the face. Look at that.
Awesome.
Oh, look at that golden orb. That is huge. It's over a metre wide, this spiderweb.
And nobody's home.
Not at the moment.
Art. Art started... I can't remember where it started. I always drew... As a kid, it was a good refuge, but drawing was something you came inside to do. And when I was little, it was a lot about wandering off in the bush.
So what have you found there?
They would be grass, bendy, quite tough grass, but it has a nice curve and a nice line to it, and that might come in handy.
It's So after working for years in the film industry as a production manager and then having kids, Leonie ran an art supply shop that had the aim of subsidising a studio space for her painting practice, but it never really turned out like that, and she ended up selling that art shop. The real turning point in Leonie Barton's art career came a couple of years back when she went to Namibia. One of her nephews was working in the camera department of Mad Max.
And my only chance to see him was on Sunday afternoon. So the rest of the week, I would go wandering. He organised me a car, a little ute, and I went exploring, which in hindsight was really dumb.
Why?
I'm white. I'm really elderly in their eyes, because the life expectancy is not very long. Because I was more than 200 metres from where I'd been born, I was considered incredibly wealthy. And the Namibians couldn't understand that I was so far from home and that I'd left my husband and my children. But I hardly saw anyone. There was one week where I didn't see anyone at all.
What did you see?
Sand. Lots and lots of sand. It's a very sparse country. I think the average is one person every 2 square kilometres. Sorry, I'm breathless now.
And what happened to you there?
I had a bit of, I mean, it sounds so indulgent, but when you spend that much time, I mean, I'm used to spending a lot of time on my own. You know, there's a bit of navel gazing, introspection, reflective time. And, you know, I'd always talked about, you know, I want to do my art and blah-de-da, but I never had the confidence, I suppose, or the self-belief. And then after I'd been to Namibia, they have such a hard life that I thought it was wrong, given the resources I had and the freedom I had, just the luxury of living in Australia, that I thought, oh, it seemed wrong to come back and just keep talking about wanting to do something and waste the opportunity and not do something because I could, because they couldn't. I'd always sort of said, oh no, I can't do that, or I'm not good enough to do that, or... So then I made a decision I'd say yes to everything for a year. And then an opportunity came up to paint for a photographer. And I thought, okay, I'll go into the interview saying, okay, yes, I can do that, or no, I can't do that, but I can recommend somebody else. So I said, yeah, I ended up with that job.
So what is that job?
I paint backgrounds for Ann Geddes, who photographs babies. But it's good. It's a great working relationship. She lives in New York and I live here. So it gives me a bit of freedom to do my own little bits and pieces.
So while you've been talking to me, there's these gorgeous grass trees that have been trimmed, I think. They're right next to the path. But when the leaves dry, they make very coarse, beautiful straight lines, curves.
Yeah. They have the start of a curve, and some of them will twist, some of them won't.
Leonie's walking ahead and I'm looking at her, and it's clear to me that her attention on the environment has a completely different focus than mine, and when I ask her about it, she finds it difficult to define.
Oh, okay.
Her ephemeral art has made her approach the outdoors and nature like a set of shapes and textures. She's not looking at that view across the water to the island that's framed by trees, but rather the stick she's found, which has a right angle in it. And her style in particular reminds me of that aesthetic of mid-century wall sculptures with bright arrays of lines from central points, or perhaps semi-irregular grids or interlocking circles. In the work, there is an overall feeling of balance and flow and lightness. But instead of brass and glass, like those mid-century sculptures, it's made out of seed pods and dried grass. So how did that transition occur from what we might consider a more orthodox art practice using easels and paints to what you're doing today, which is using what you find on the ground to make a sculpture?
About 3 weeks before Christmas in 2014, I came across an artist called Shona Wilson, who I'd actually met in my shop when I had my art shop, but then she'd since moved out of the area. And she was 3 weeks short of finishing a year-long project where she would go every day and make something the same principle, to go out and use what she found on a walk, using no tools, within a time frame, and then leaving it behind. And her project was called Collaborations with Nature, which was a book that Andy Goldsworthy had written. And I came across it and I loved the idea of it. I was quite in awe of the fact that she had done it every day for a year. I'm not a great finisher. I'm an excellent starter. I wrote to her and said, look, I really love what you're doing. And she said, well, tag. She said, you should do your own. And I thought about it for a couple of days and I thought, let's do this way. And I thought, oh yeah, I could do that. That would be easy. So I made a point of not going back through her work. I just waited till she finished. And then I started and I thought, oh, that'd be easy. I just go for a walk every day and I'll find stuff and I'll make something and then I'll go home. And it's actually quite hard to commit to doing something for 365 days. I mean, there's a lot of people that do it now, but it's like locking 10 people in a room with an apple and, you know, the same set of paints and saying go, and they all paint it different. It's interesting how everyone has a different eye and a different sensibility towards it. And Shona comes to it, I think, she won't mind me saying this, from a perspective of she's very into nature and she's very, do you say ecologically aware? She's this lovely, gentle, serene, beautiful, graceful woman who moves slowly through the world and is very good at educating people. And I'm just not that. It satisfies my needs. I like going for a walk, I love nature, I like being by myself, I like looking at shapes. But she has a bigger environmental message, and I think I'm just a bit more selfish. This is just indulgence for me. Does that sound bad?
No, it sounds truthful. Ephemeral art, a collaboration with the environment, perhaps also a collaboration with time, isn't a new concept, and it's not necessarily rare either if you really think about it. If you've ever made a sandcastle, You've made an ephemeral piece of sculpture. And yet on Off Track today, we're tagging along with a woman who made a year-long commitment to art, which lasts a short time. One piece, every single day, for a year. Her name is Leonie Barton.
Last year was a really hard year personally in our house. My husband was really ill, and the project gave me, it was like glue. It glued one day to the next day to the next, like I had to go. And it was great because I'd go and walk around for 2 hours and turn my head off, and I didn't have my own life. I was separate from what was happening at home. And you couldn't have scripted it. It was just the year from hell. And going every morning and fiddling with sticks was just, I was awesome, you know, and it didn't matter whether we were at the hospital or where, what was going on, I could still go and do this. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was just my sanctuary, and it meant that I had to get up every day, I had to go and do it. It meant that it didn't matter what else was happening. I had to go and do that, and I honoured it, and it was a little sanctuary and a little piece removed. It wasn't part of that other life. People do yoga, or people run, or people garden. It's really no different to that, but it was about going every day as a daily practice and having permission almost for that portion of the day you could turn your head off. And I think mental health wise, it was exceptionally good for me. And I'd highly recommend it.
So that daily mindfulness, I suppose, the taking of time to yourself every day has had a huge impact on you, but you leave these creations out there for someone else perhaps to find. So what's been the impact on other people, on those who have found your work?
I'd like to think they would stop and slow down. So by leaving the artwork behind, hopefully they'll go, oh, it's grass, but it has this shape or this line or this curve, or, you know, we seem to sort of walk so quickly through our lives and not pay attention. I leave them behind as a reminder. I mean, I'm not sure how long they stay, you know, the wind, there's the tide, there's all those things which take it away. But in my head, I do it. It's there all day. I've seen people stand on them, kick them. There's all different responses. Some people, they do stop and look. But it's interesting watching some people sort of go, because it's there, and they're not sure why it's there, but they need to have a comment about it. I've seen them kick them and squash them. And
so, to be clear, what you make on the ground is often geometric, so you can see clear lines, so it doesn't look of nature, though it is of nature, so it wouldn't be that people would walk past and not notice.
And think that it was natural.
Yeah.
No. And they would usually get left, you know, in a fairly, I like to have a clean background. I suppose I could do it quite graphically.
Those people almost wanted to assert their own will. They're moving the art on in their own way.
I don't think they know how to respond to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just remember there was one man recently. He walked up and his initial reaction was to be quite amazed that there was this mound of, I'd made something out of a whole heap of mushrooms that I'd found. And because the bitumen was a black background, I'd put it onto the road. And his initial response was, oh, wow, there's, you know, there's all these mushrooms on the ground. And then he worked out that they, you know, had been placed particularly to look a certain way. And he oohed and aahed about for about 1 second. And then he nudged it with his foot. And then he, yeah, trashed it. It was strange. It was like that he needed to put his stamp on it, because it was just, I don't think he could relate to why it was there. Why would somebody do it? I don't know. It was strange. And then he kept walking. And that was his response.
So Leonie is wandering down a steep pathway to a shoreline, and she's got two handfuls of really harsh, sharp, dried grass. And I've let her go ahead because I can sense that asking her to talk with me at this point is actually really difficult because she's searching for the medium for the day and it's actually a really intense experience for her. And she's also started to look now for surfaces on which she's going to build her piece of art. And she told me that she's going to be looking for a feature of some type. It might be a line or a curve or a little hole or a crevice, something where she will set down her materials and create in response to that direct environment. Okay, Leonie's found a lip of stone on a rock platform on the shoreline, and the tide is literally almost coming up to her feet. It's about 2 meters away. And I've climbed up on top of a boulder to observe her movements and keep out of the way. But to be fair, I don't think it matters. She's completely engrossed. She's completely oblivious to a big yacht that just sailed past before and a water plane which has been going backwards and forwards. She's snapping the grass into short lengths and placing them on the ground, and it looks like she's tucking one end under a stone ridge. Okay, now she's taking photos of the work.
I saw the shape and I liked that end of it, that curve to it. Blades of grass probably just accentuate it.
I think it does accentuate it because you can see it reminds me of a biological drawing, like a cell.
Ah, yeah. Like a protozoa
or something like that, with little dendrons or something that are coming off it. So tell me about the photos you took.
Yep, I try and take a photo from above to as how I see the artwork or the piece. So it's interesting graphically, visually, and at first sight, people might not know that it's rock with blades of grass in it. It could look a bit abstract or like a bit of line work, and I take that shot in the hope of producing a print as the final look, and then I shoot a wide shot to give it some context so people can get an idea of scale or perspective.
Now that you've walked, collected and completed a piece today, what do you feel?
Relief. I'm pretty happy. There was a little bit of extra pressure having you present today. So, yes, there is that little bit of relief that I did something. But I do really enjoy it. And to do it and then it has some sort of reaction or response with my head. So when I go home and I have to paint for my day job, I can approach it differently. It's like a warm-up exercise to another artist that goes to a studio and draws before they paint, or it's like somebody who needs to go and run a marathon, they have to do their warm-up exercises first. So that's my sense of feeling, and I'm happier. I tend to get a bit cranky apparently if I haven't done anything for a little while, my husband says. So yeah, I feel good. Nothing does last, you know, everything perishes, even us. So if it can remind people to slow down a little bit, look at everything a bit differently, look at themselves a little bit differently, and remember that, you know, we really don't have that long to live our lives. We're these little specks that are here for such a short transient time, so you may as well pay attention, I think.
Those things that you spoke about the impacts that you hope that this sort of work might have on people,
yep.
Did it have those impacts on you?
Yes. Yeah, I totally, even though I liked, you know, going off and dawdling or whatever, I hadn't looked as carefully. And I'd never picked up as much rubbish as I did in that year. And I just learnt to pay attention. And as much as I liked, you know, nature and going off and walking, I hadn't paid that much. I wasn't very conscious, I don't think.
After doing a piece a day for a whole year...
Yeah.
What effect did that have on you?
Oh, okay. At the end, I sat down and looked at it. I was, you know, in a vain way, I was really proud that I'd finished the task. But so there was that little bit of pride. There was a great relief that it was finished. I didn't have to go, and then I missed it and I stopped. So that was interesting.
So what did the whole experience teach you about nature, do you think?
That it's not... One, not to take it for granted, to stop walking through it so quickly and past it and not paying attention to it, because... And we have such a big... we can have the capacity to leave such a big hole in it, because it is really fragile. It's a lot more fragile than I thought. You know, I'm no greenie, but... Everything perishes. Everything has its time. Everything is transient, you know, including us. So you have to value things and you have to nurture them and look after them and leave as small a footprint as possible. What do they say? Tread as lightly as you go. Wander lightly if you can.
You can see Leonie Barton's work on her Instagram account. And if you're in Sydney, you can also see some of her work at an exhibition hanging at Artest in Leichhardt for Art Month. It's the whole month of March, and the exhibition is called Vantage Points. Links at the website. And it is interesting to alter your vantage point on nature and take a look at some of her photos, see the world through Leonie's eyes. There are two photos for each art piece, one of which is the creation itself, and another which is a revelation of scale and height and viewing space and discovery of place through art. I'm Anne Jones, this is Off Track, and you're listening to RN around Australia or via the web or the podcast or even CBC in other parts of the world. And remember to meet me right here at the same time next week. That's when I'll take you somewhere else.